Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast. This is Josh here alongside with Peter. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, I guess. We're in that weird
brunch. Yeah, as long as we're not into the good night time, we're
in that weird brunch time. But we are back at it for episode 18, I believe.
We're getting up there.
That's rolling. It's time to get some sponsors.
Yeah, we'll put their names on our jackets.
Yeah, we will put your name everywhere. Taco Bell. Yeah. We've given some shout outs to a lot of people.
It's free advertising. They should, you know.
You know, we talked about Taco Bell. We've talked about
Dolly Parton,
Reese's. There's been all
Tennessee baseball.
Speaking of baseball, the Axemen champions.
Congratulations to the Axemen, to Logan. That was a fun game to watch. They got out to an early lead and then just held on to it.
I didn't get to watch the game, unfortunately, but I knew you were watching, obviously, because you sent me a picture of you watching.
I streamed it off my phone up onto the TV, and you know, regional broadcasts got you forget that camera quality does go up as people get closer and closer to the majors, because the angles were a little rough. Like an out would happen off screen, and then you'd just, you know, the commentator would tell you, but like the cameraman never saw it.
In case you didn't see that, he is out.
Right. There was a really controversial out call on a steal of second. Mm-hmm. But there's no replay, so there's no like ESPN going back to see. Everybody's just mad. You hear the crowd being mad, and it went against Burlington. But it was really, you know, Burlington has, you know, they're the sock puppets.
Right.
So, you know, their cheer, which I didn't realize, is just sock puppets, sock puppets, and like through the regional broadcast, it was very weird.
Really creative over there in Burlington.
Yes, but it was a good game. It was fun to watch. They had a big old dog pile, and I think they're posting nothing but championship content now on their things. Yep.
Yeah, Logan, good job. We must have brought him good luck.
Yeah, it was totally because of the other day.
Yeah, I did want to kind of briefly talk about something that's popped up. Over the last day or so, we're seeing a lot about inflation. I'm not 100% sure that everyone fully understands inflation, you know, what it is, how it affects us, how it affects the economy. So I did want to take just a second before we dive into some fun stuff for maybe you to talk a little bit about what exactly is inflation and what are the impacts on us as consumers.
Right.
From a day to day.
So this is definitely one of those things that people will see the headline. They'll see that it's bad or it's good. But whether or not we really dive into the details and understand, you know, probably is up for the debate. But the reason why it's in the headlines right now is in the inflation number for July came in at 8.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Which functionally means that prices are 8.5% higher in July than they were in June.
Okay.
So if you were paying a dollar for something, you're paying $1.08 or 8.5 cents, right? Which obviously as you're going higher up. But that 8.5 number is down from 9.1% the month before. It's still an increase in prices.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not at the same rate. So the concern with inflation is if it's out of control, that the money that you're making at your job will no longer buy the goods and services that you need.
This is a great time to ask you for a raise right here.
Right.
I'm going to put you in the hot seat because I can't afford inflation.
Inflation's bad. But it's why we've seen what was it? Social Security had a 5.9% increase for 2021 because of the inflation and everything. So we've seen, people are – if you're getting paid the same and everything else around you is costing more, functionally you are less wealthy.
Right.
Or less affluent or less, you know, able to meet your budget. So, but we always have inflation and mm-hmm. we want a level of inflation because that means your economy is growing. So normally we want to 2.5-3% inflation. Now, we've gone for a very long time with very low inflation because of coming out of the financial crisis and a couple other things, COVID. You know, COVID caused deflation actually to happen pretty rapidly because when everyone stopped traveling, gas prices fell because there was no demand for it.
Right.
Now that everybody's traveling again, gas prices went back up, Russia-Ukraine happens, gas prices going up. That affects our budget. So one of the big components of the number here recently is we've seen at the pump, gas is significantly cheaper than it was a month ago.
Right.
I think I paid $3.35 the other day, maybe with some points.
Yeah, I got I got gas the other day. It was $3.40, I think.
And you know, so we're way off 420s and 430 type levels that we were at. And so that's one component. And one thing I like to tell everybody is everyone has their own personal inflation rate based upon the goods and services they consume. So if you drive a lot and gas is going up, inflation is worse for you than a retiree staying at home not.
Right.
But we've seen it across the board, you know, but one of the biggest components has been used cars. And that's starting to ease off. So we're starting to get more chip manufacturing in Europe. We're starting to get a little bit more production here domestically. But they put all these different components together and they come up with, well, this basket of goods went up 8.5. And some of it went up, some of it went down, some of it went up a lot, some of it, you know. And so when you're looking for trends.
Mm-hmm.
And so with inflation, you really want to see that we're getting to this peak and on our way back down on how fast it's going up. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen the market rally so much.
Right.
We're almost recovered half of the S&P losses. If we hold today's level, we will be, you know, right at that 50% level, which is a really important level for the stock market. Because anytime you recover half of what you lost, not that you won't go back down, but we've not made new lows in those scenarios. So that's a positive sign for going forward with the market and things recovering.
Let me ask you this, because I've had this conversation with several people, and it's along the inflation, cost of living side of things, but I know that I think historically cost of living has been on the rise pretty steadily over the, I don't know, past 20 years. But it seems like the wages
median income.
Yeah, haven't really budged much. So how do we – it seems like there needs to be some kind of control over that. Just from a, you know, like a responsibility or a due diligence sort of way. But I don't even know how to, how does that get resolved?
There's not a lot that we can do. You know, so if we were to look at it from the economic perspective, the government can only control certain things within theirs. And so one way that you would control for that would be, you know, this push for the minimum wage to go to $15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to push your median wages up, which the problem then is you're spinning both sides of the wheel at the same time.
Right.
Because if people have more money, they spend more money, there's more demand, you have more inflation too. So it's a real fine balancing act. And then that's where the market really comes in. And this is, you know, the market just for any goods, in that as prices go up, they will hit a point where people are like, I'm not spending that. Unless I get a raise, I'm not spending that. And then those prices come back down. And that's part of what the Federal Reserve is trying to do in by raising the interest rate. It makes it more expensive for companies to do business. So then they try to pass that price along to the consumers. And then, you know, if the consumers won't pay, it slows down demand.
Yeah, I know. You talk about minimum wage. I know that that's been at a crawl for years.
Right.
I think when I was I started working when I was 15, and of course I was pulling minimum wage, but I want to say it was like five something, six something maybe.
Yeah.
I mean that's over.
You know, it's moved to seven, and then certain states have pushed it now to 15, but we don't have the federal, I think, is 7.25.
But how wild is that of a jump to go from 7 to 15? I mean, I feel like that's kind of proof that we probably should have been gradually bumping that up a little bit, and now we're like, oh crap.
Well, that would be the argument.
Yeah.
Is that when we originally put in the minimum wage, if we had indexed it to inflation, it would be roughly $15-16 right now.
Okay.
But we didn't index it. And there's reasoning for that, in that minimum wage did not used to be the type of jobs that families were trying to get by on, right? You know, traditionally, you were being paid more than minimum wage if you were working in a factory or you were working wherever it was. It may not be much, but the minimum wage.
Entry level.
Right. Starter jobs. You weren't, you know, it's the kids working at the restaurants, you know. Mm-hmm. And so businesses valued employees who did those type jobs as minimum wage employees. And as we raise that minimum wage, they're looking and saying, why am I paying you X? And it's one of the reasons this $15 an hour thing, it made it economical for companies to fire people. Mm. They're like, well, if I have to pay you $15 an hour, guess who's getting a new self-checkout, type thing.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause I can hire one person to monitor all the self-checkout versus having six cashiers or whatever it is.
And so, we're seeing that a lot. A lot of automation is coming into play, in all aspects of business. So just not just even retail, but also, transportation, warehousing, things of that nature. And it's kind of scary, because we joke a lot about, robots taking over the world and this, that, and the other. But we have some pretty impressive, automated things, systems that can crank out a lot of stuff at a minimal price.
I think it's my biggest concern for, I guess, the world in general.
Right.
In that, there used to be a job available for the person who was like, carry this scrap metal from this part of the factory to that factory all day long.
Yeah.
Well, now a robot does that job. So that person's out looking to compete in the job market for something else. And for what economists would deem unskilled labor, and I hate that term, but that's what we talk about, that those jobs are eventually going to not exist. There's a study out recently. I'm part of a workforce development task force for Northeast State, and they were talking about, on average, in the next 5 years, if the average worker had 23 tasks within their job description, 6 to 8 of them will be automated away from them. So that means, okay, well, if 6 of your tasks go away and 6 of mine go away, do we need 2 people to do those 2 jobs, or do I combine that job and automate, for the rest? And businesses, it's not even just, the cost of, the worker themselves, but the benefits that they have to pay, the retirement, the insurance, everything else. You don't have to give benefits to a robot, So it makes it cheaper. So if you're spending $17,000-$18,000 on insurance for an employee, and that robot's an $80,000 robot, and you're like, well, I was spending $60 on the employee and $20 on their health care, and they may not be here, and I got to worry about vacations, and I got to worry about, family leaves and all, and insurance and training. That $80,000 robot, even a $100,000 robot, starts looking attractive.
It's very... it's kind of a paradigm shift of sort. It's a slippery slope, I think. I don't think it'll happen in my lifetime, but I mean, if we progress and keep pushing toward automation, which I know has benefits, and I know from a business standpoint has financial benefits and production benefits, but there's still humans being born. There's still humans.
They're still going to deal with them, right?
Yeah, it's like, what are they going to do if a lot of these positions are phased out? I don't know. I think more about that now because I have a younger child.
Yeah. What does their future look
like? Yeah, it's, what are we having conversations about trade school? Are we having conversations about college? It's like, what is that career even look like 20 years from now?
Yeah. I think the skills are going to be super important. Those trade skills are not going to go out of demand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just coming out with a GED and saying somebody hire me probably is going to be tough.
Right.
You need to have the skills. But then, you know, Elon wants to conquer Mars, so that would be a place that there'd be a tremendous amount of new jobs. You know, so
he's all over the place right now. Yeah. Are they still in a
court battle?
Court battle.
Twitter. Yeah, I've heard differing opinions. The latest one I heard is they think that the deal to buy Twitter is going to be forced to go through by the courts, but it's a coin flip. But yeah,
was he demanding to see?
Twitter could not produce the records that he wanted because
yes. Yeah, that's it.
When he made the bid, I think his assumption was that 5% of the user base were fake accounts and bots and everything else. Mm-hmm. As he started to dig into it after making the bid and getting due diligence stuff back, he's starting to think that number is 20 to 30%.
Oh my.
It's like, but if it's 40 to 50, you know, with the changes he has planned, mm-hmm. which would drive that user base away because it would be removing the fake ones, that dramatically changes the value of the company. Because you can make an argument that Twitter is only as valuable as the user base that it has.
You should probably do that research before you put a bid in.
Well, yeah, part of it is. And then part of it is Twitter just is notorious about not giving that information
away.
Yeah, so... Yeah. And so I think we've seen a really interesting court case that, you know, will probably set precedents for going forward on deals like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have two Twitter accounts, you know, I've got a personal one and we've got an Aldebaran one, right?
Yeah.
Is that one account? Is that one user? Is that two users? Is that seven users because everybody at the office has the ability to log in and use it?
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know how you measure it.
I don't know that you look at it from – I think users is the incorrect term to look at it. It's accounts.
Right.
I think is how they need to evaluate it. But then it's hard because, like you're talking about, within those accounts, you don't know how many users have access to it or can, you know, participate on it.
Right. So yeah, it's always up in the air, but boiling us back to, I guess, the inflation number, we're hopeful that it's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as that price at the pump comes down, as car prices come down, that's all good things that will enable the economy to continue to roll. And what you don't want is the economy not growing and inflation being there. So that's called stagflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're stagnant with inflation. And that's bad. It's not as bad as deflation, where you're losing ground, but you're really struggling. Like if you had deflating prices and deflating, you know, growth in the economy, that's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But just it's one of those things because, you know, then businesses aren't able to reap what they've put out in the market, and they can't pay their employees, so then people get fired. It becomes a bad spiral. So we want growth, but not too much growth. That's where it comes down to.
We want to grow, just not too much.
Right.
That seems like an impossible equation for me. I'm sure there's a lot of people more skilled who are taking care of that, but I don't have any idea how to manipulate that in a great way to move forward.
Right. And that's what the Federal Reserve is charged with doing. They've got two mandates, having as many people employed as possible and keeping inflation at roughly 2.5%, 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're behind the curve because we're exploding with inflation, but for good reasons. Like, we put a lot of money into the economy with COVID,
mm-hmm.
so it was going to happen.
Right. Well, let's talk about something happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited about this.
We've been talking robots and inflation and the end of the world. Not really.
Well, maybe everybody will just get along. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really simple.
We'll bring Brian in. He's got the whole start because he has more Star Trek knowledge. But that's kind of the theory behind Star Trek, is that society gets beyond this point of people having to work because, you know, the computer can replicate anything you need. So people can then live the lives they want to live if they – but you find purpose in what you do. So if you have nothing to do, you know, I don't know where your purpose comes from, but
Well, I've got a cool little book that sits on the corner of my desk. I think that it was actually a gift from my child, maybe a Father's Day. I don't know. We like funny stuff.
Yeah.
We're pretty loosey-goosey, like to cut up and have a good time. But it's called Would You Rather, which I know is common. A lot of people know that. So I was looking through this book, and I thought it'd be really fun to off the cuff ask you some of these questions. And I do want to say, disclaimer, I have not asked any of these to Peter prior.
I'm going in blind.
I'd
rather go blind on this game than never have I ever. You know? So we'll go with this one.
So there's a lot of different categories in this book, and I did happen to notice that one was money and possessions.
Money and possessions.
So that seems fitting.
I should have some knowledge on that.
Yeah, here, I'm gonna make a little bit of background noise here to get this book in place, but I'm just going to read these at random.
Yeah.
And I'm just very curious, and I mean, I'll put my two cents in too, because I've not really, you know, studied it. But question one, would you rather lose all of your valuables or all of the photos you've ever taken?
Oh, okay. All right.
We're going to see where your heart lies.
Yeah. I mean, you do have the memories of the valuables. That's tough. I feel like I'm almost there now anyway with the way digital, you know, photos are, because I feel like I've got a massive, you know, collection of digital photos that I never look at again. So I'm going to go, I'd rather lose the photos and keep my possessions. Because I think I've done it already.
Well, also, I think, too, it probably matters what possessions you have.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
Like, if you have
cool stuff,
crazy awesome stuff, I mean, that's a hard question for you.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, driving your 99 Honda Accord and just be like, eh, you can take it.
Yeah, I need my car. I need my lightsabers. I need all my stuff.
Okay, this is a good one. Number two, would you rather be poor with lots of friends or rich with no friends?
Wow. I'm somebody that I have some really close friends, and I would hate to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also somebody who doesn't like mobs of people in general. So, but I guess
you do seem to trend on that introverty side. So I could see that.
Yeah, I'm much more introverted than probably I come across on these things. But that's tough because you feel like a jerk if you say, "Yeah, I'd rather, you know, be rich with nobody."
Well, you already said you want to ditch all of your photos and memories for your valuables.
Yeah,
so and just go ahead.
Yeah, let's go with it, which is crazy because, like, I'm the unsentimental one, or I'm the sentimental one of, like, my family.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, everybody else is now, like, Kate and the boys, not so, but my brother, my dad, you know, they
just stuff.
Don't need it. So, yeah, I'm going to go with...
you're going to be rich and alone.
Rich and alone. You know, maybe I can buy a few friends somewhere in there.
See, now you're thinking.
Yeah.
Now you're using your head. You can just buy friends.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't be.
They don't have to really like me.
You just need a couple hours of their time a week, maybe.
Yeah.
It's fine. Let's see. Oh, this is a cool one. Number three, would you rather your device have a battery that never runs out or get free Wi-Fi wherever you go?
Battery.
Yeah.
1,000%.
That's a no-brainer.
I run out of battery all the time, and it's always at the worst moments. Battery. Wi-Fi, you know, is what it is. Funny Wi-Fi story. I was helping Henry study for a history lesson on Jamestown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm quizzing him, I'm going through, and one of the questions was like, what difficulties did the, you know, pilgrims and whatnot at Jamestown run into? It was like starvation, dealing with Native Americans, and the winter. And then he throws on, and no Wi-Fi. It's like, Henry, if you put no Wi-Fi on your test, I will give you $5.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Make sure you get the other three on there too. But like, my son might pick no Wi-Fi. Like, he would want that, you know. But for me, I burn my phone too much, you know, batteries. So I'll take batteries.
Let's see. I'm just browsing through these a little bit. And some of these I'm reading, I'm like, I already know what Peter's going to answer for that. So that won't be a good one.
Well, yeah. I am pretty you get what you see type person. There's
pretty,
not a lot.
You're pretty
mysteries.
Predictable.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this one here. Would you rather have 6 wishes but you can't wish for money, or have $50,000?
6 wishes. Yeah. Heartbeat. Rub that lamp, get all my wishes. You know, it's $50,000, you know, you could spend pretty quick. I mean, that's one car now, it seems like. So
yeah, I was gonna say I could probably spend 50 grand in a weekend.
Yeah, but
because I have the personality to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, take it up to the casino.
But it'd be fun.
It'd be fun. Yeah, I'd take the wishes. I can come up with some pretty weird stuff when my brain, you know, keeps going. So, you know, I could have some fun with that.
So I flipped back here toward the back of the book where we're out of the money possessions. Now we're into the gross stuff.
All right.
Would you rather have a head the size of an orange or a watermelon?
Oh, watermelon.
Which I don't know how that's gross, but nevertheless.
I mean, can I go with like a seedless watermelon that looks like an orange? Orange would be pretty small, so.
That would be abnormal.
Abnormal. I think I could get away with like a hat.
I feel like I know some people who have heads the size of watermelons.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is funny. So I'm going to ask this one only because. So I have a friend who listens to this podcast. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, which I'm sure everybody already knows who I'm talking about. But he can't take pills.
Okay.
He just can't do it. He get right. He, it, like some kind of
gag reflex.
Yep. He just can't do it. So any medicine he has to take is either chewed up, crunched up,
dissolved,
blended in.
Something.
It's really annoying.
Right.
So this is what it makes me think of. Would you rather take a pill or have a spoonful of horrible tasting medicine if you were sick?
I'd take a pill in a heartbeat. I take too many anyway for like different supplements and different, you know, things for my back injuries and everything else. So yeah, I can pop a pill, you know, without a problem.
I think most normal human beings would say that.
Now, if you had a choice between a shot and the nasty medicine, I'd probably just take the nasty medicine.
Yeah.
I don't care about shots, but, you know, I'd rather bad taste than pain.
Would you rather have a hairy tongue or hair on the palms of your hands?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tricky one. That's probably the hardest one.
I'm already married, so I don't have to worry. Like, I don't know. I think she would want me to pick hairy hands. I think that's how that would go.
Oh my goodness!
I'd let Kate answer that one for me. Whatever she chairs. I'm a guy. I don't, you know, whatever.
Okay, I can't do a gross one without mentioning this topic. So, would you rather your fart be silent but smelly, or loud and have no smell?
You know, actually, they talked about this on Weird
like
Medicine the other day.
This is giving me PTSD from when I was in school.
There is a reasoning behind this, and Dr. Steve went through this whole thing on Weird Medicine because of why the two are what they are, and it was hilarious. I'll go silent but deadly, you know, and yeah. I'll try to pass it off on somebody else. But, you know, just one, you get the joy of knowing it's coming to somebody else rather
and just watching
than watching
them.
It.
It's you like you're slowly setting off a bomb or something. You're just sitting back and waiting.
Right, yeah, versus just the loud, oh, I'm shocked by how loud that was too, you know, type thing. So, yeah, it's I'd go silent. But
I think both have their advantages. It depends on your location, your setting.
Right.
And your desired outcome.
Yeah.
sometimes you might want that shock factor.
You might, you know, but there's an unwritten rule, though, too. If something happens like that, like, I would so much rather it be silent, like if I'm having a client in my office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
you do that with clients in your office?
I would try everything I could not to be like, oh, I need to get something off the copier, you know, or whatever it is. But, you know, if it had to happen, everybody can kind of look at each other and be like, I know, you know, I know.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to talk about it. But if it's loud, you can't get around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. All right. Well, this is the last one. Would you rather eat maggots or caterpillars?
Oh, caterpillars. Can I cover them in chocolate like they do with the crickets and the grasshoppers?
I feel like caterpillars are probably, how do I say this? I feel like maggots are associated with garbage.
Garbage, yeah.
Decay, rotting.
All that sort of stuff.
Caterpillars aren't.
I mean, it's all protein, yeah. You know, so, but yeah, caterpillars probably, you know, maggots are white, so you don't have a whole lot of foods that are white like that.
And even just the name.
Yeah.
Is
it may be the name.
Such a turnoff.
Yeah.
Have you ever chomped on a bug?
Yeah.
Which one?
See here. I ate a bee once by accident. Like, flew in my mouth as I was chewing. That one fun.
You ate a bee?
Yeah.
Did it sting you?
Yeah, inside the cheek. No fun. I'm not allergic to bee stings. It just hurt. But, you know, you eat ants and stuff every now and again. They get into your food and stuff like that. When you're camping. I'm an Eagle Scout. We find protein where we can. You know, if you got camping.
You said that like everyone does. You eat ants every once in a while.
So. Yeah, I mean, technically, if you want to go and look at, you know, the FDA posts how many, you know, insect parts can be in any particular type of food.
Yeah, don't look at that stuff.
Yeah, don't.
And the whole, there's one about, you know, you swallow X amount of spiders every year, like when you're asleep. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I can't.
I'd rather eat a spider, though, than walk through one of its webs. That feeling to me is like crawl over skin. So.
Yeah. And you can't do it. You can't get it off of you.
It's bad.
And you usually only do it when you're like sweaty and gross, so it's even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awful.
Wow. That was fun. I hope some people email us in response to this. And if you are one of the lucky clients who has dealt with Peter passing gas in a meeting,
yeah, don't let me know. I don't need that shame.
Please reach out to us. We would like to talk.
And apologize and send you a Chop House gift card.
This is your time to really cash in on this.
Yeah.
But if you do want to reach out or have any questions, email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. Of course, you can always go check out the website, afiadvisors.com. Check us out on all of our social media channels. This was fun.
Yeah. I like mixing these in.
Yeah, we might need to keep this book around. I'm learning a lot about you.
I'm an open book.
I think that
I don't embarrass, so I'll say
it. And I think a lot of people were probably like, really? You just eat ants?
Yeah. You're around the campfire, one walks onto your s'more by accident, you realize it halfway in, and you're like,
flick it off. You don't eat it. What if it's a fire ant?
Oh. That would be painful.
We really appreciate everyone listening. This was a fun episode. Again, if you have any questions you want to submit for the show, please do that at connect@afiadvisors.com. And Peter, this was fun, and I hope we get to do it again soon. And everyone, thank you for listening to the Bullseye Podcast. We will catch you later.